So Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus speaks for me. We thank you for the joy of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So Lord, today we the choir's led us. We thank you for the sweet spirit in this place. We seek to honor Jesus. We seek to honor Jesus with our lives, with our commitment to you as a church. And Lord, we pray that today you might help us to hear your word and that we might respond to the things that you have to teach us today. Thank you for the sweet spirit who comes among us and encourages us and teaches us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And we rejoice in that today. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Great to see you. If you are a guest, we're delighted to have you here. Now, this is Ken Metcalf, who serves as our associate pastor of children and preschool. Would you welcome him this morning? Say hello to Ken. Ken, and we've got these pictures going. Ken is leading us in Vacation Bible School. We just finished. If you served as a worker in Vacation Bible School and you're in this service, would you stand, please? Any of you who served? We want to say thank you to these people. They're all over the place. Thank you for serving. Ken, give us a word on how things went for Vacation Bible School.
Well, thank you so much, church. Vacation Bible School was an exciting time. The pictures don't really do it justice. You'd have to add a lot more energy and a lot more sound to it. Daniel Bulletin led our morning assembly and afternoon assembly. Where's Daniel? Is he here? He's not here. He led it, and he was just a ball of energy. The kids were really excited. I wanted to present some facts from Vacation Bible School, just sort of a report. The average attendance for kids only was 526 kids every day.
Amen.
Our average number of volunteers we had, 155 volunteers every day.
Amen for our volunteers.
That gave us a total number of participants in Vacation Bible School every day, about 680 people.
Amen. Praise the Lord. 680 folks. How about that? They were all here every day.
So I wanted to tell you, we gave cards on Wednesday and Thursday. We presented the plan of salvation to the kids, and our lessons have been leading up to that all week long. And on Wednesday and Thursday, we got to present the plan of salvation from third grade all the way up through high school. And we gave each kid a card and said, we want you to fill out this card whether or not you're not interested in becoming a Christian, whether you want to be a Christian right now, whether you're not sure, or whether you just have questions. And so we had them check off something. And out of that group, we had 34 kids ask, they said, hey, right now I'm ready to become a Christian.
Amen. Amen.
So some of the teachers, some of the ministers got with each one of those kids that filled out a card, and we talked to them, each one of them personally. And by the time we got talking to all 34 kids, 19 of them actually sat down and prayed that prayer and said, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen for those. Praise the Lord.
Now another 21 kids said, I've got questions. You know, I need to talk to somebody about some questions I have about God. And some of the questions were just so cool they said, I know God made people. I know God made me. I know he made the animals. I know he made the planets. I know he made the stars. But does God, when he looks at me, does he see me sort of like a star out in space, one of many, don't really pay attention to it? Or does he really care and know me? And so we got a chance to answer questions like that, and it was just so neat. Get to talk to them. I want to tell you our missions time. Our missions time, we decided we're going to help the Dixon County Help Center. And so we had a grocery basket down here that was the girls, and a grocery basket over here that was the boys. And the competition was to bring as many food items as you could by the end of the week. And by the end of the week, the boys had brought 966 food items and put it in that basket. And the girls had brought 993 food items for a total of almost 2,000 items for the Help Center.
Isn't that great? And so, Ken, what was your prize for that?
Yeah,
what did you get?
Yeah, I got the pie in the face.
The pie in the face.
The cream pie in the face, yeah. And it was kind of weird going to the grocery store. I bought the whipped cream and the pie shells, and I remember my dad talking about when he was a boy having to go to the woods to get his own switch. That was my getting my own switch. So anyway, they had a great time with that, and it was pretty neat. Another ministry that we had was that after we got done using our materials, our teaching materials, some of our crafts, a lot of the decorations, you know how you saw the hallways totally loaded with decorations? This whole back was decorated. We took all those decorations and gave them to three different churches and also a VBS mission that's going to go on this summer. And so they're reusing those throughout the summer for their VBS. So we're using that stuff. All right. Hey, I want to tell you, 2018, we're already looking ahead.
Yeah, time to sign up for Vacation Bible School.
Yeah, that's right.
You people who volunteered, we're signing you up this week.
That's right. VBS is going to have a sports theme. It's going to be called Game On. And so we're really excited. Thank you, church, for everything you've done.
Game
appreciate
On.
It.
Amen. Amen for Ken. Great, great Vacation Bible School. Lots of us know the impact and the importance of Vacation Bible School. We know it in our personal lives. We know it in our children's lives. What a wonderful thing. Heavenly Father, thank you for Ken. Thank you for Debbie Richard. We thank you for their leadership and for the hundreds of our people who were able to come. Others of our people who had to work, but they prayed. Others who brought resources, supplies, decorated. We thank you for the wonderful, wonderful work, First Baptist Church. Seeking to share with boys and girls what we're talking about this morning. Helping boys and girls meet Jesus and find life. So Lord, we pause in the busyness of our lives, the busyness of schedules, to say thank you. We pray that as we planted these seeds of the gospel, that over the years beyond all of us until Jesus comes, that there will be fruitfulness that will come. And we thank you for the fields that are white to harvest. We thank you for the chance we have to tell others about Jesus. Thank you for Brother Ken. Bless him. Bless all of our volunteers and give them time back for the time they spent in serving in this way. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's people said. One more time, say thank you to Ken. God bless you, Ken. So if you have your Bibles, John chapter 4, if you'll stand with me and honor the reading of God's Word, we're talking about, we're moving through the Gospel of John, and we're looking at these various times where Jesus met someone or some group of people, and guess what? When you meet Jesus, you find life. You find life. John 4, 5. So Jesus came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Please notice these words. So Jesus, being weary from his journey, Jesus, fully human, fully God, Jesus was tired. Jesus, being weary from his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered to her, please pay attention, now it's very important. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Heavenly Father, today we recognize that we have been thirsty, and many of us who are born again today, we have discovered the truth of what Jesus said to this woman at the well. How I pray today that you would help those who may be among us today who are thirsty, spiritually thirsty. They're going about their lives doing everything else, but really what they need is satisfaction on the inside. So, Lord, today, help us to understand your word. We thank you for our fathers. Thank you for our families. Pray that you bless these men and the day they have with their family. May Jesus be honored. May my words glorify Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So we're talking these days about Jesus meeting people along the way and them experiencing life. I want to make three comments to you today from these words. John chapter 4 is such an enormous chapter, 54 verses, two various incidents, one where Jesus heals a nobleman's son. The first story is a long story about Jesus. In fact, this is one of the longest recorded stories Jesus had with someone in detail. And it happens to be a woman who wasn't a Jew. Number one, in that day and time, number one, Jesus having a conversation with a woman. Number two, having a conversation with a woman who was not Jewish. And he being who he was from the Jewish world. So we learn in these words some very important things. And I'm going to pick three things to say to you. And many of you who are here today, I look around, I always think about this every time we're in one of these Gospels. Many, many of us here today, we're blessed because we've heard the story of the woman at the well all of our life. I want you to try today to go back as if you've not heard this story before. And let me take us through it, maybe from a different way of thinking. You know, we've been called to tell others about Jesus. We say that's a part of our mission, and it is. Jesus said, go make disciples. Jesus said, you are my witnesses. Here's what happens today. It happened last week in Bible school, but it happens for all of you every day when you go to work or live among your family and friends. Here it is. When we go and tell other people about Jesus, people have an opportunity to meet Jesus. That's how they meet Jesus today. And then the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, starts to work. And the Holy Spirit starts to draw them and show them the importance of Jesus. They get curious about who Jesus is, and then they want to know more. So this morning, we're thinking about meeting Jesus. First thing I want you to see is this, that Jesus meets all kinds of people in all kinds of places. We read these words. I love the way John does this. He does it in various ways, but he does it again. Verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria. Well, we read in John chapter 1, verse 6, there came a man sent from God. We also read in chapter 3, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night. We read the words in John chapter 1 when John the Baptist said, pointing to his disciples, one of them named Andrew, the other one unnamed, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. These two disciples heard it and they followed Jesus, and Jesus asked them, what are you seeking? And they said, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and see. And they spent time with Jesus. So there are these people who are coming to Jesus. Some by the sea, some by night, and this woman with Jesus at a well, a famous well, an ancient watering hole, clear back to the times of Jacob. And here we are, Jesus at Jacob's well. All kinds of people in all kinds of places. Look, this room all day long has been filled with people, all kinds of people from all kinds of places. You all come from all kinds of places. And there's all kinds of people in here. Some characters, some rascals. I'm just trying to see if you're listening to me. Some of you misbehaving, some of you doing good. All kinds of people. All kinds of people. That's what the Lord does. That's how the church is put together. All kinds of people from all kinds of places. So Jesus meets this woman at the well. By the way, all kinds of people. Religious leaders and rulers like Nicodemus we saw last week. Disciples of John the Baptist like we saw in chapter 1. And now, this woman who can't seem to stay married five times, and now she's not living. She's living with a man and not married. But all of them have an opportunity, and Jesus is good with speaking to all of them, which tells me a little bit about how ministry ought to take place in the church. We don't put people off because of their lifestyle or who they are. We don't expect people who don't know Jesus to act like Christians. They're not. We start with people where they are, just like Jesus did. All kinds of people in all kinds of places. You know the old hymn, "We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus, Jesus, spread the tidings all around, Jesus, Jesus saves." You're going to have to do better than that. Jesus. All right, thank you. I wanted to see if you're here. If you help me today, you get out of here sooner on Father's Day. This is where you help the preacher. All right? So that song tells us something. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. To all kinds of people, all kinds of places. My grandson and I, my wife Pat, we were at the mall yesterday. What in the world at the mall? Some of you like to go to the mall. Some of us need to take medicine before we go to the mall. People everywhere. Parking places. Madness. You'd think that there was gold to be found somewhere on that property the way people were running around. Maybe I stay in Dixon too much. But I never seen so many people and so much chaos in all my life. All kinds of people. All kinds of people from all kinds of places. There they were. Jesus meets people from all kinds of places, from all kinds of backgrounds. So we have to remember that today as we think about this story. I'm only going to focus now on just one part of the story of Jesus talking with this woman. They have a long discussion. But I want you to see, secondly, that Jesus, this is what happens now. Jesus meets all kinds of people, all kinds of places. But Jesus offers all kinds of people from all kinds of places spiritual satisfaction. So he takes the chance. Look, Jesus was thirsty. Now, if you look at your maps, or if you've ever been to to Israel, so he's coming from Jerusalem. He's from the south part of Judea. He's going toward Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee. But he has to go through what the Jews don't want to go through. He has to go through Samaria. He has to go through there. Long day, probably hot. It's the middle of the day. He's tired. He sits down, and here comes this woman. There came a woman. Unnamed, there came a woman with her water pot to do what they do, to get water for herself and for others. And Jesus says, what wonderful words, "Give me a drink. Give me a drink." The one who asked for a drink of water says to this woman, "I offer you something that you can't draw from a well." I wonder today how many of you are spiritually thirsty. The woman says, "How can you ask me anything? You're a Jew." Jesus says, verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God." You know what Paul said in Romans 6:23? "All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ." Jesus is talking about the gift of eternal life when you believe on Jesus. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. When you meet Jesus, you know what? You ask for something you can't get from anybody else. You ask for Jesus to do something inside of you. Well, the woman says, you don't even have anything to draw from the well. Jesus answers in verse 14, whoever drinks of this water, I have it here on the screen for you, or you have it in your Bible, whoever drinks of the water that I give, Jesus is offering, whoever drinks of the water that I will give shall not, will never thirst. By the way, Jesus spoke in absolute terms. He said, if you believe on me, you'll never die. Even if you die, you'll live. What kind of talk is that? Either Jesus is telling the truth or he's lying. Jesus says here to this woman, if you take the water I give, if you take the gift I give, you'll never be thirsty. And inside of you, you'll have your own well. And you'll always be satisfied. Jesus has just spoke to the religious leader in John 3 about being born again. Now he goes a little further for us. John helps us. John the Apostle helps us. Being born again means that inside of me there comes to be, when I'm born again, a satisfaction that I can't find anywhere else. I'm satisfied on the inside, and just like a well, it just keeps renewing and springing up, and no longer do I feel the need for spiritual thirst. I wonder, do you know what it means to be spiritually thirsty? I think we all know what it means to be physically thirsty. I was reading this week about the signs of dehydration. When you haven't had enough to drink, you know this time of the year we have to do that. We have to drink. It's hot. Your body requires it. The signs of dehydration, mental confusion, fatigue, loss of appetite, loss of energy, dizziness, all these factors, lack of strength to know where to go. Do you know what it means to be thirsty? Desperately thirsty. Sometimes people are dehydrated and they don't even pay attention to it. You see, it's the woman here. The same thing. She had spiritual thirst and she didn't even know it. She was just bringing the water pot to get some water. And Jesus says, I have living water for you. Well, they go on to talk about this. They talk with one another. She talks about that she senses that Jesus says, go call your husband. You know the story. And she said, I don't have a husband. She was honest with Jesus. Jesus said, no, actually, you've had five husbands. You're not even married to the person you're living with. She says, I perceive you're a prophet. And they begin to talk, and they talk about worship. We know those famous words about worship that Jesus speaks with her about. Those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. That's what happens when you're born again. You learn to worship in spirit and in truth. But then she says to him something very interesting in verse 25. She says, I know the Messiah is coming. There's a promised one coming. There's one who will fulfill the Old Testament promises. I know there's a promised one coming who is the Christ. Listen, she says, he will declare all things to us. And lo and behold, we read in verse 26 these jaw-dropping words. Jesus, not to the religious leaders of the Jews, not to his first followers, but to a Samaritan woman, he says, I am the Messiah. To a immoral woman living in sin, Jesus says, I am the one. Not only will I give you water, I'm the one. Not only do I give you the gift, but I'm the one. That's what he was saying in verse 10. Well, she's amazed by this. And she leaves her water pot in verse 28. And she runs back to the city. And she says something interesting. Come and see a man. Come and see a man that told me all the things that I have done. Is this not the Christ? You see, all kinds of people from all kinds of places, when they meet Jesus, they discover something. He is the Christ, the promised one. He is the one who can change your life and mine forever. Is that not good news? All of a sudden, we see a pattern here. This woman who's been with Jesus goes back and tells somebody else about Jesus. It's a natural response when you meet Jesus. You don't have to have a class on how to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't have to know all the things to say to tell somebody about Jesus. In fact, the woman, here's all she knew to say. Come and see a man who told me all the things I have done. And lo and behold, we read these beautiful words. Verse 30. They went out of the city and were coming to Him. Coming to Jesus. Well, about that time, verse 31, the disciples showed up from McDonald's with their Big Macs. Just want to see if you were listening. Rabbi, you got to eat. You got to eat. We got to get out of Samaria. Let's eat and get out of here. Can you hear it? We don't want to be around this bunch. But all of a sudden in the background, there's a stir, and here's all these people, all these Samaritans coming to see Jesus. And Jesus has a little conversation with them about real ministry. And He says something interesting. I believe He said these words as you could hear the pound grounding with the people coming. He says, verse 35, do not say, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. See, this is what sometimes the church says. Well, I can't go tell anybody about Jesus because I got to go through training. Training's important. We train around here. Jesus says, don't talk about that one of these times, you know, the harvest is going to come. The harvest is on right now, He says. Behold, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. You hear them coming. Look at all these Samaritans. They weren't Jews. They were Samaritans coming to meet Jesus. We have to, as a church, remember, you know, fields are harvested. And then they grow back. Fields are harvested and they grow back. Pat and I were driving on 41, 49 the other day, not far, going toward Portland over there, and there was some wheat. There was some wheat being, you know, I'm from Oklahoma. Wheat is what you do there. Wheat's everywhere. Wheat's for miles and miles and miles and miles. And there they were out there. What a beautiful sight. What a beautiful sight. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, church. Look around who you work with. Look around your neighborhood. Look in your family. Listen, they're coming. And then we read these wonderful words. Verse 39. By the way, all I had to do today was read the Bible to you. Isn't that good? Just read the Bible. Verse 39. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in Him because of the words of the woman who testified, He told me all things that I have done. I look around this room and I know enough of you now that some of you have been just like this woman. You went and told your friends, but you didn't know what all to say. But the one thing you said is, I have met somebody who has changed my life. You told them about Jesus. You didn't know what value it would be. You told them anyway. And here they came to Jesus. Here they came to Jesus. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, verse 40, they were asking Him to stay with them. Don't you love this? When people meet Jesus, they want Him to stay. They want to have time with Him. They don't want him to leave. We saw that in chapter 1. Of all the things those disciples could have asked Jesus, where are you staying? The reason why they asked it, because they wanted to be with Jesus. When you meet Jesus, you want to be with him. Where are you staying? He stayed. Now, this had to be, for the disciples, a hard thing. They were trying to eat and get on the road. They certainly didn't want to stay in Samaria. But Jesus stayed 2 more days in Samaria to teach these disciples, wherever you are you listening to the preacher today? Wherever you are, there's a harvest. You got to listen to them. Sometimes people say to me, well, you know, not much around here to do for Jesus. A lot of churches, a lot of work. Listen, friend, as long as there are children being born into this world and this part of the country, there's a harvest. Do you know that? A harvest for Jesus. Well, I got to finish, and then we'll go have our... It is Father's Day, by the way. By golly, we got to get out of here. I got to go hurry up and go have my chocolate pie for lunch. Some of you are listening. Many more believed because of His words. By the way, did you notice whose words? Jesus' words, verse 41. I wish we knew what Jesus said for 2 more days to the Samaritan. We don't have it recorded. Probably some things like He said before. You must be born again. We read on. And they were saying to Him, to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is, are you ready for it? They make the good confession. They believe on Jesus and they make the greatest confession of all. We believe indeed, the Bible says, that this one is the Savior of the world. Samaritans. This didn't come out of the mouths of Jews. This comes out of the mouths of Samaritans. I don't think we appreciate that. The confession was made because they met Jesus. This is the Savior of the world. This is the one. You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. We have heard the joyful sound. You're going to have to do better if you want to get out of here now. Jesus. Jesus. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus saves. I hope you've made the good confession, friend. Hope you just don't come to church. I hope that you've made the confession that Jesus is the Savior of the world. By the way, what are we around here to do? Help people meet Jesus. Here's a woman who brought a whole city to meet Jesus. Does that matter to you? Or you just... Does that really even matter to you? Do you really care if somebody follows Jesus? Well, you'll have to answer that for yourself. But today we learn the wonderful, wonderful experience of this woman who met Jesus. And because she met Jesus, she told others about Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Jesus. And we thank You for the time we've had today in Your Word. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said, "Give me a drink." Jesus said to her, as He says to all who come to Him, "Whoever drinks of the water that I give shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The Lord Jesus has told us that whosoever calls upon Him, whoever believes in Him, will have eternal life. So are you here this morning and have you trusted Jesus? That's the most important decision in all of life. That's what we come here to do, is to talk about Jesus. You're here this morning and perhaps recently you've prayed to receive Christ, but you've never come forward, you've never said to the church, I have prayed to receive Christ. I'm ready to come now. I'm ready to become a disciple of Jesus, following Him in baptism and join this church. Some of you who are here, you come all the time, but you need a church home. Look, you need a place to fit and find yourself connected. Some of you need to come and you need to join this church. So whatever spiritual decision you need to make, remember this morning what we've heard. Come meet a man who's told me everything. His name is Jesus. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Draw Me Closer. And as we sing this song, we have other pastors that are here. We invite you to come. Steve's going to lead us. You come on right now. Anybody here?
Move me closer. Move me
Anybody
closer.
In the house need to come. You need to come. Come on.
Move me closer to
Come meet Jesus.
Let me see Him. Let me hold His hand. Pull me closer.
Sing again. We're going to sing again. Move me closer.
Move me closer.
Somebody comes, I always know it's another opportunity for somebody else. Look, friend, it's another sermon, but you don't have a promise for tomorrow. This is it. Today. So the Bible says if you hear His voice today, do not harden your heart. Today. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. So where are you in your relationship with Jesus? That's all that matters at the end of the day. It's all that matters. Steve's going to sing again while we bow our heads. He's going to sing. You need to come. Come on.
Move me closer.
Anybody else? Come on.
Move me closer. Move me closer to the cross. Let me see.
While you're standing, we're going to introduce one who's come. By the way, let's practice the sermon. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus saves. Come on, you got to do better than that. Jesus saves. Amen. All right, Todd. Tell us, who is this young lady who's come this morning?
Well, Pastor Ken gave you some information about some kids that made some decisions at VBS. Well, here's living proof. Aubrey Reynolds has made a decision to follow Jesus, and she wants to be baptized and join this church. So this is for you, gal. If you rejoice in her decision to unite with this family of faith, raise your hand, say amen.
Amen.
Congratulations, gal.
Well, happy Father's Day, fathers. Ladies, treat daddy well today. And Steve, close us out. Make sure you come by and say hi to this precious girl.
Praise God.